Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is a lovely day to be in church. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else this morning but right here in Lighthouse. You can hear me okay? What was yesterday? Valentine's Day. Yes, it was Valentine's Day. I live in Happy Valley, and I have a habit of going to Causeway Bay on the weekend to have a burger, have a lunch, whatever. And I was walking to Causeway Bay, my usual routine, and I got to Causeway Bay, and I saw a lot of young men standing on the corner with a big bouquet of flowers in their hand, waiting for their Valentine to arrive. Now, I don't know if any of you have priced flowers over the last couple of days, but I did last night just out of curiosity and to help my sermon. Bargain Shop in Happy Valley had a bouquet of roses, not red roses, yellow, green, blue, purple, 880 Hong Kong dollar. That's, you know, quickly, you know, Jennifer said, I'm a money man. Oh, I work in a bank, but we always, that's over 100 U.S. dollars. But across the street, the florist was only selling roses stem one by one and was charging $150 for one stem. It was an exotic flower imported from Holland. It was the best that they could have. Can you imagine if you just bought a dozen roses? That'd be 1,800 Hong Kong dollars. Well, I'm broke already. That would be, you'd be paying for that Valentine's gift for a long, long time. But I brought some with me this morning, not those flowers, things that maybe I could, that were more in my price range. Did anyone miss Valentine's Day yesterday? I heard some of you had a very nice time, a dinner. Some people don't only celebrate one day. They go to Japan skiing for a week, celebrate their Valentine every day. But, you know, this is probably something I would get for the Valentine. It's a chocolate rose. Not going to charge you $150 for it, but it's nice, right? It's a nice little gift. Did anyone get this yesterday? You got it? Better lay it down. Oh, for the French. Maybe Pierre Aimé? Macaroon? Brother Kim, you know this company? Nice little box with some macaroons inside. But unfortunately, the macaroons are gone. A nice gift, right? Maybe your Valentine doesn't like chocolate, so maybe gummies work. Little red, white gummies with a little bear there that looks like the Cupid guy. Yeah. Cute. Sweet love. If those still haven't met your desire, maybe the more health conscious. Did you go to the grocery store and see these? Little red raspberries in a heart-shaped plastic container. Wonderful. For those health-conscious people like Venus. Venus, right? You wouldn't take chocolate. Skip the flowers. Give me those red raspberries. Oh, but if you've known your Valentine, if you've known your Valentine for many a year, you might think, I have to go a little bit, you know, overboard. I have to really express my love this year to my Valentine. And maybe you got some Godiva chocolate in a gold heart. Unopened. you know, these are all nice gifts, but very imperfect. The chocolate, when it's gone, a few days later, you're going to forget about it. If you don't eat the raspberries right away, they're going to mold, and you'll have to throw them out. The gummies are going to cost you a big dentist bill. The rose will only be a memory. The flowers last 5 to 6 days. They wilt. They die. You throw them out. A very expensive gift to have for just a short period of time, but you have the memory. Today, I want to share with you a more perfect gift, an everlasting gift, the love of God. Lots of people got excited yesterday over Valentine's Day. But this morning in this service, I got excited, and several others of you got excited, because of the love of God. My journey with Jesus began when I was 7 years old. Now I'm at retirement age. But I can close my eyes and see that very spot where I knelt in a little church in, I can't even say it without getting emotional, in a little church in Reading, Michigan, on a Sunday night, at the altar call. We don't have those many these days, do we, Sister Mary? People don't have altar calls so much anymore. But in those days, we had altar calls almost every service. Sunday night altar call. Keith Churchwell went to the altar. He gave his life to the Lord. Do you know who was there with her hand on my shoulder, as I was kneeling and praying, "Here come my mother. Help lead me to the Lord. Pray with me." Now, what happened on that day was the beginning of a journey. And that journey with the Lord is a journey of divine love. It can't be counterfeited by anything that the world can give us. It's divine love. It transforms us. It sustains us. And it never fails. Now, this love and this experience will not live and sustain itself if I just live on what I did when I was 7 years old. It's a continuous journey. It's a continual renewal. It's a continuous going back to God. It's a continuous checking my heart. Is this what the Lord wants me to do? Am I in His will? Am I following what He wants to do, wants me to do? Have I heard His voice today? Have I put myself in the Word of God? And today, this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at the love of God and review once again, not what Keith says about the love of God, but what the Word of God says about the love of God. Let's pray. Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank You for being in this place with us this morning already. We have felt Your presence. We have felt Your touch in our hearts. Lord God, I was amazed at how what we will share in the next few minutes just was intertwined in all the songs and the choruses, and even what Sister Pina was saying about You. Lord, I was just amazed. You have already constructed and put all this together for us today to bless us, to encourage us, to help us along the way, Lord Jesus. And we pray now that it be anointed that you anoint us to hear your word, and God, that it will not go out void, it will not be wasted, but God, it will help us to live our lives better in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, I'm going to switch mics. This is... Yes. Crank my neck a bit. Okay. Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So, we start with... the deep human longing for love. There's a pastor who I love to listen to. I think he's kind of a common sense preacher. He's kind of his sermons are just so common sense. He's based in Toledo, Ohio, not very far from where I was born and I've spent a lot of my childhood. Reverend Paul David Tripp. He reminds us that as a human being, we have in our hearts that question, will someone love me? And will they love me once they truly, know me? The universal questions that we all struggle with. And even after becoming a Christian, sometimes we forget, oh, the abundance of God's love. And we wonder sometimes, oh, will someone really love me? Because what we see in the world falls far short of what we need and what we hunger for. I was in Singapore last week and wasn't able to come to church because I was on a business trip there. And when I arrived in the week, I got a very smooth journey, got in the taxi, and in Singapore they have a radio channel called Love 97.2. And I'm saying that because that was kind of the lingo. Love 97.2, 24/7 love songs. I get in the taxi. We're riding into town. It's about 25 minutes to the hotel. And I was already thinking and preparing this in my mind. It was already on my heart. Lord, really, we're going to be talking about the love of God and the importance of the love of God and all these wonderful things about the love of God. And this radio channel was going. Love song? I was sitting in the back seat. I thought, oh, I need to look out the window. I need to pray. I'm sorry. Those were not love songs. Bad romance. You lying, cheating devil. La, la, la. I don't want to live forever. I just want to live for the moment. These are the lyrics that I was writing down because I said, this is sermon material. And ladies and gentlemen, when I've reached my retirement age, I've washed all of this out of my mind already. But you young people, be careful. I'm not going to say anything about those people who come to town and everybody's fighting to buy a ticket to go see Taylor Swift or Lady Gaga or whatever. That is not love. That is counterfeit. The world builds their idea around love on feeling, lust, and all of these things that the Bible teaches us that are wrong. And Jess, I grew up, I had the same challenges that everyone in this room has had. But I learned, sometime by mistake, if you follow that counterfeit love, it will push you to the cliff of falling over into sin. And that does not help us. That brings moral destruction. And unfortunately, our path to heaven
is not there when we're in that place. So let's work on really understanding and knowing where is the true source of this love that will really satisfy our hunger. And that is, in our brokenness, God's love shines as perfect, unfailing hope that nothing can separate us from. The divine hope that shines. And I ask some of you to bring your Bibles today so that we could really review some of these scriptures. And I know some of you probably thought that the key scripture that I was going to use today was John 3:16. But surprise. Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So that is the source. That is the source of the love that we need to pursue. Ladies and gentlemen, the more we look around us in this world, the more we see the need for the love of God. People really need God more. We see it more evident. I go, my, what has happened? And the way that those people are going to learn about God and see the love of God is through us. This is amazing. As I prepared for this message today, I was really intrigued over the phrase, God is love. It is his essence. It is his nature. Do you know we were created in the image of God? Do you know that we have the capacity to love because of how God has created us? We may have lost some of that when Adam and Eve fell and sinned, kicked out of the Garden of Eden. The image changed. They became more what we're more familiar with, born into sin, need redemption, brokenness, etc. But God is love. I have tried to think over and over and meditate on this, and you know my limited mind just cannot comprehend it all. It's something I really cannot understand. Yes, I can understand the God is love, but it's such a deep, deep element. I don't think we will ever understand truly how this really is with God and how his true nature really is till we get to heaven. But we are experiencing day to day his love. This verse in 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. I'm going to read that one more time for emphasis. Whoever does not love, not counterfeit love, not what you hear in those songs, not what you see in the news, not what politicians say. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Our salvation, our redemption, the way that was created for us to be saved, is because God is love. Some of us have been saved from an awful life. And who knows where we would have been today? Maybe not even alive. If God hadn't reached down through the Holy Spirit and pulled us out of that pit, we were destined for hell. And we need to recognize the glory that has taken place in our lives through God and His nature being love. There is nothing, as I heard Sister Penina say this morning, there is nothing that can replace it. We hunger for this. We pursue it. God is love. Now let's continue looking at the unbreakable love of Christ. Now I'm going back to Romans 8. Open up your Bibles. 35. Through 39. May the power of God's word impact us this morning. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in these things we are all more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then verse 38 continues with what I recently read on the other slide. Nothing can separate us from the unbreakable love of God. All of these things that we face in life cannot separate us from the unbreakable love of Christ. Powerless oppositions, though we tend to see these things as very difficult and hard to overcome, the trials in life, the persecution that we may face, death itself, and spiritual powers. Now, when I first came to Hong Kong, I joined a rather local Chinese company. Though it was international, the Hong Kong office was very local. And I went away on a business trip and came back, and they had reallocated offices. And I had been given a new office. And in the office, there was an idol. I'll just say it's an idol. You might call it a statue. It's an idol. Guangdi. They had moved that statue, that idol, into the office that was allocated to me. I was shocked. Monday morning, you know, half asleep, hadn't had my coffee yet. I walk into the office. I'd been away. And I walk in. I said, oh, Mr. Churchwell, your office is that one over there now. We allocated new offices, moved people around. That's your office. Right at the door, facing the doorway. I was like, what is this? Oh, that's Guangdi. Can I move it? Oh, no. The feng shui man put it there. You cannot touch it. And we suggest that you even bring some tea occasionally and put there. I said, no. I am not. That thing will die of thirst. I am not going to give it any tea. And I had one visitor from Australia who used to be in that office. Oh, you're so blessed you have Guangdi in your office. No, that is not a blessing. She said, oh, you should kind of worship it. No, I'm not going to do any worshiping, no flowers, no tea, no bowing. I'm not even going to look at that thing. Because you know, people, things that are worshiped become your opposition. They're not worshiped. They are not things of God. They are things of this earth or things of the devil. And we know that idols can and situations can possess powers that are pretty awful. I did not like that office. I did not like to work in that office. I just was so uncomfortable there. I start to pray. Lord, I need this job, but I don't need this thing in my office. Lord, you make a way. I ask, can I move to another office? No. No space for you. Oh, my goodness. I prayed. I went on a couple business trips, came back. And that job, I was away a lot. I came back, still there. And you know, in Hong Kong, there's always the head secretary usually is the lady with the power, knows everything. So I went to her several times, said, can you help? Anything we can do? Nope. Big boss says nope. And don't touch that. Don't try to move it. If you do something, then the feng shui man will have to come. Then they'll have to be another type of, you know, what is ceremony. I went off on a business trip, and the next business trip, I came back to Hong Kong, went to the office that morning. It was gone. Amen. It was gone. So I went to that lady. Going. What happened? I called it a statue to her. I said, that statue is gone. And you know, I hadn't encountered that. I'd spent 7 years in Beijing, never encountered any of that. I come to Hong Kong, and within the first couple of months, what's going on here? And I even think I testified about this in the church, Sister Mary, way back then. It was gone. Feng Shui man came while I was on a business trip and had another walk around the office, and for some reason decided that thing was in the wrong place. It should be in another office. And it got moved to that office on the other side. Hallelujah. Amen. When things cannot be done by you, Jesus will do it for you. I was so relieved. And you know, I began to work much better. My work was more appreciated. I was recognized better. My life just totally changed when that thing got out of that office. Amen. And I know some of you work in Chinese homes and they're around. Don't acknowledge that. Leave those things alone. Believe in the power of God. What does the scripture say about this? It's all around us, ladies and gentlemen. I say things in my church back in the U.S. They're like, we don't understand. Really? What's that? Here we go. No weapon formed against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. A weapon may be formed, but it will not prevail. Amen. And 1 Corinthians, hallelujah. I know I should have these on the screen, but we had some difficulty. 1 Corinthians 10:13, if you have it in your Bible open. A promise I always go to. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Sometimes I can't bear it, Lord. I can't go on my own. Please help me. Promise, 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful. He will not allow things to weigh you down to the point that you cannot, beyond what you cannot bear, beyond what you can bear. And in that, he will make a way for escape. And in this, in looking at the unbreakable love of God and of Christ, Psalm 36, 5 through 7. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains. Your justice is like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Hallelujah. I get so excited when I can see this, when the biblical authors use the natural elements of nature to describe God's greatness, his love. It's beautiful. It's his creation. We can see this. We can relate to this. Your love reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains. In Psalm 91, before I move on from there, verse 6, you, Lord, preserve both people and animals. People think I'm a little bit crazy, but I've got a little dog at home named Oscar. He's my best pal. He looks sad when I leave and is very happy wagging his little tiny tail when I come home. And when he's not feeling well, I know it too. I might physically see it. So, nothing wrong. I reach over. Oscar, you come here, sit on the couch with me. Lay my hand on him and pray, God, this is your creation. Oscar belongs to you even before he belonged to me. And I pray, people laugh at me. Sister Mary, it's true. The Bible says right here, he preserves those animals and those that he's entrusted to you. Amen. Amen. I'm getting excited. I told somebody this morning that this sermon was going to be a little bit unorthodox. So let's roll with the punches, as they say. Let's go for it. Psalm 91, 1 through 4. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you already know what I'm going to read. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. These are all statements about love. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And in the same chapter, Psalm 91, 14 through 16. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And for our sisters, because she loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue her. I will protect her, for she acknowledges my name. She will call on me, and I will answer her. I will be with her in trouble. I will deliver her and honor her. With long life, I will satisfy her and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Eternal steadfastness. And I know we're all familiar with the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Amen. Thank you for sharing that in the back. It's a privilege to be a Christian and to know that we benefit from the triune God, the triune love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. John 16:27, the Father himself loves you. Yahweh, the creator of the heavens and the earth. I went to New Zealand a few years ago, and one night I just, Brother Keith, I think of you, I laid on the grass outside and just looked at the stars. In Hong Kong, we never see those stars. But you go to a place like New Zealand, right, Sister Julie? Not a lot of light pollution. Oh, the beautiful stars and just everything. Oh, my goodness. This, he who created all of that loves you, he himself. We are embraced by the very heart of God. And then Jesus, he loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus was the sacrificial love that purchased our redemption and opens the gates of heaven for us. There are a lot of people in heaven that I want to see. My grandmother, my father. But when I arrive at the gates of heaven, there's one who I want to see first, Jesus. I wouldn't be the person I am. I wouldn't be able to know God as I know God without the sacrificial love that we have received through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We experience day to day how the Holy Spirit comforts and helps us and transforms us and works with us. You know, we have a term in the office that we say BAU. I don't know if you know what BAU means, but BAU is business as usual. The BAU is the routine, mundane things that we have to do with the role that we have. It gets kind of boring. But it has to be because it's BAU. And sometimes, yeah, the BAU gets hit, so we have to struggle a bit. But you know, God takes care of our BAUs in our life. There are those things that we need help with, or he knows the desires of our heart, and he makes a way. I loved in the prayer group this week when Eileen shared that Elise Hamster had somehow got out of the cage and disappeared and they couldn't find it, but we prayed. We prayed. And when we prayed the next morning, we found that hamster in the cage drinking water. I was like, hallelujah. That's the BAU of life. And I had the privilege of going out and sharing fellowship with Sister Mary this week. On Wednesday, I got a nice hamburger and went out and we sat and talked and fellowshiped, shared lunch. It was a beautiful time. And, you know, I'm a city guy living in Happy Valley. I'm not used to all those transportation links in the new territory. So I was, you know, and she's just been back for 3 months. So I was asking to help her. Now, where do I get the little bus? And, you know, all of the, where does it take me? And do I pay when I get on or do I pay when I get off, et cetera? So I had all that down. But then as I was walking back out of the village up to the road and up to where the bus stop was, I was watching these fish in the river. I thought, my goodness, look at that. That's, yeah, wow. It would really be nice if a taxi came along because it's really getting hot out here. I'm starting to sweat. I turned and looked, and around the little curve was a taxi coming my way, dropped off the passenger. Can you take me to Taiwan? Yes, I can. And off we went. And no awful music being played in the taxi. Wonderful. The BAU of life, God looks after us. Amen. Now, just to review some of those wonderful things that we often forget about. When we think about forgiveness and what we have experienced in God in forgiveness. Psalm, once again. 103, powerful scripture. Powerful. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God doesn't think about what we have done in our past and the sins and transgressions that we have that have happened to us. He throws them as far as the east is from the west. Another concept very difficult to understand, except they're gone. And I confess, sometimes I'll be sitting somewhere on a plane, in a car, in a taxi, and something will come to mind. Maybe even when I was a kid. Why did I ever do that? Why did I ever do that? I had to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. I still think about those things every once in a while, but this scripture, this week, when I was reviewing, you know, I need to stop that. If God doesn't think about it, I shouldn't think about it either. It is gone as far as the east is from the west. And then in the same chapter, in the verse following, in Psalm 103:13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Compassion of the Lord. In this scripture, it mirrors the Father's love. He understands our weakness. He meets us with gentleness and care. As we said earlier, he will not allow anything to come to us beyond what we can bear. And in this as well, God uses his love to heal our deepest emotions and spiritual brokenness, restoring our souls and renewing our strengths for the journey ahead. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Amen. 1 Peter :2-24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So this whole concept of God, God's love, and how he understands our weakness and works with our BAU day to day is not merely just a theological concept or a distant feeling. The world and even some religious people will say God's so far away. But God, through his love, is a living, active presence that transforms and sustains us moment by moment. Even in our deepest challenges, in our deepest sufferings and weakness, God's love is revealed with power. His grace becomes sufficient, and his strength is perfected in our weakness. 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. Not that. Okay. Moisi. Does someone have that can read it out for me? I'm struggling with this. My phone. Anyway, you'll find it. Okay. Thank you. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Hallelujah. So responding to this, as I draw this message to a close, what's our response? You know, I don't want us to be passive. I want us to be active Christians. And as we were talking about journey, you know, my journey still will continue. I still have my struggles. I still have my days where I go, well, you know, I need prayer. I need to pray. But what's our response when we have heard all that we have shared this morning already? Receive his love. In 1 John 4, 7 through 11, it reminds us that God first loved us. He initiated the relationship. He called your name and pours out his grace without condition. When I confirmed in my mind this was what I was going to be talking about, when God confirmed it through his Holy Spirit, I was on the MTR one Sunday going home from church. And I'm waiting, and I hear these two young ladies talking. I love her, but, and was going down through a whole list, what was wrong with her friend? And I walked off the train going, I am so glad there are no buts with God. There are no ifs with God. God is love. We don't have to worry, well, if I'm going to be... No! No, no, no. Receive his love. There are no conditions. Know him intimately. In 2 Timothy 1:7. Can you put that one up? I love this one. I don't want to skip it. For God gave us, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. To maintain a relationship, and I know a lot of the married couples in the audience today and in the church would say, yep, relationship building is not easy. Takes self-discipline sometimes, maybe a lot of the times. And with God, it's not different. It's not different. We can't just cruise through life without making our effort toward knowing him intimately. Loving others freely, and that, of course, we know when Jesus was asked about the most important command, love your neighbor, love others. We don't see a lot of it these days. Unfortunately, next. 1 Corinthians 13, 6 through 7. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And the greatest joy, we have eternal life in Christ Jesus through the love that Jesus has given to us, the sacrifice he made. It's not just knowledge about God, but it's a deep personal relationship. We work together to maintain that. It gives us the deepest satisfaction. We started by talking about these little gifts that maybe a Valentine had given, and then the yearning, the universal hunger for love, and the true source of that love being God. Everlasting joy that we know God and he knows us. To be loved by God is to be invited into his everlasting relationship of joy, purpose, and belonging that transcends time itself. Now, in our experience, we don't want to just keep it to ourselves. Last Christmas, I flew home to see my mom, and I was in Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. I'd flown for 15 hours. I was so tired. And Jennifer, it's no joke. I know next week she's going to tell you about her long flight. Those long flights, 16 hours, 17 hours, they wear you out. And I was wore out. And I had to spend the night in that airport. So I got a little hotel, and I went to my room, and I didn't have any water. So I thought, I'm going to need to go down, find a vending machine, and get some water. But I had worn this T-shirt. You all know my Yahweh T-shirt, right? You've seen it before. Some of you. Maybe not everyone, but this is Yahweh, right? Yahweh, the mighty one, the everlasting one. And I was walking through the airport toward the vending machine, and this flight attendant was coming along, going as fast as she could, because obviously she needed to get to her flight. She's pulling this suitcase, and all of a sudden I hear, "Yahweh, yes, yes, yes." And I said, "Amen. God bless you." Let's not live passively, but actively. And it wasn't like, you know, that night, I may never see her again on this earth. I think I might run into her in heaven. She might be the one who comes along and says, "I remember you." But that night, I went to my room. I felt so encouraged. I thought, these are the times. These are the times we should really live our life publicly for God. I don't know how much encouragement that gave to her, but it sure sounded like it. Honestly, I am not exaggerating at all. Other people were around. They were like, "What's going on over there?" Yahweh, yes, yes, yes. Amen. Yahweh. Brother Steve, let's all stand. We're going to close the service. Sister Lisa, if I could ask a favor of you, could you come up and sit by Sister Mary? Because I have shared with you scripture, stories, encourage you about the love of God this morning. And I want you just to take the hand of the person next to you. And I want us to proclaim, declare, and remember how much God truly, 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 truly loves us. My story is different than yours. But it's great that you have experienced the same love of God that I have experienced through Jesus Christ.
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Okay.
Hallelujah. 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 How wonderful is the love of God. How wonderful is the love of God. And what connects you with the person next to you, even if you're married to them, is the love of God. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, let me pray. Father God, we just rejoice in you today. We really have enjoyed being in your presence from the very first start of this service. truly have experienced your love in our lives. How wonderful you are. How you truly love us. How you daily take care of us. Where would we be without you? I dare not even think. But, oh God, you are with us. You have saved us. You show us your love every day in even the little tiny, tiny things. And in those big, huge things as well. May we leave this place ready to do what you want us to do. May we be able to share the love of God with others. May they see the love of God in us. And Lord, may we be a blessing,
yes, Lord,
to others who need encouragement, who look and say, oh, there is another believer. Hallelujah. Yes, Yahweh. Yes, yes, yes. God is with us. Hallelujah. And we thank you for how you have blessed us. We thank you for bringing Pastor Jennifer home safely. We thank you for helping Stephen Garcia with his health, Lord Jesus. We praise you for all that you're doing through your love toward us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your love is eternal. Your love is constant. Your love is never changing. Oh God, hallelujah. Thank you for it. And we just rejoice. Lord, we look to the Chinese New Year with great anticipation. Maybe there will be people we can speak to and encourage as well. And may we exemplify the love of God toward them through our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Bon appetit.